Well, we'll go back to Galatians chapter 5, okay? Galatians chapter 5, and Paul is addressing the Galatian believers. They were being influenced by false teachers that were encouraging them to go back and to, in order to be saved, in order to live godly and so forth, that they had to keep the Jewish law. So he was... because many of them were concerned about liberty. They thought that if people had liberty through grace, that is, that they did not have to keep the law, that they would live any way they wanted to, that they would go and live it up, and they wanted to put some rules on them, and they wanted to put the law of Moses on them. Well, the thing that Paul is trying to teach them and show them here, it is not the outward law. It was not the law of Moses that was going to keep the people to help them to live godly and to follow the Lord, but it was the idea of love. It was Christian love that was going to regulate their lives. It was because they loved the Lord and they loved each other that they would behave in the way that would be pleasing to the Lord. And so he was showing them that, when we lack love, Christian love toward one another, and it's all about the rules, then that was a problem also. And so he's trying to correct this issue and this problem between them. And what was happening is they were judging one another according to who was acting this way and doing that. And they had their list of do's and don'ts. And so they were kind of quarreling with each other. And Paul puts it that they were biting and devouring each other. And I mean, that's pretty extreme, isn't it? But that's what he was saying. And so because of rules from the outside, they were judging one another, and actually they were doing more harm than they were doing good. The truth is that we all know this if we actually would stop and take a moment to think about it, and I just wonder if sometimes if some of our leaders and others could just stop and think about it. We all see the mass shootings and different things, and they're horrific. And they're devastating, and I can't imagine being directly a victim in any of that, and the family and so forth. But I want us to, we've got to stop and to understand that the law it cannot force people to get along. You can make all the rules that you want to. But it doesn't necessarily mean people are going to like each other or to get along with each other. Rules are, they're no guarantee, if you would, of right behavior. You can put rules, teachers have rules in their classrooms, companies have rules, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there's always going to be right behavior, is there? Because that's why there's detention. And that's why there's, write-ups at work, things like that, because outward rules do not change the inward heart. They don't change the heart on the inside. And so the Holy Spirit doesn't work in a vacuum. That is, that he just doesn't work alone on his... I mean, he works alone on his own, but what I'm saying is, in order for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, he's using people. He uses us. So the Holy Spirit, maybe he's desiring to work on an unbeliever or to work on someone and just convict them and show them of their need. And he uses Scripture to do that. He uses all of these things. But really, he uses people, doesn't he? God uses us. Yeah, we are his instruments. And so the Holy Spirit's not just in a vacuum doing things. He's always working. Don't misunderstand me. But he uses you and I. He uses people. And so the Spirit, he enables us, if you would, to overcome the flesh. And that's what we talked about this morning, that the flesh is battling against the Spirit. The flesh, our old nature, our sinful nature, has its appetites of sin, and then the Holy Spirit has the realm of what we're to be doing for the Lord and right living, and they're in constant conflict with one another. And it is the Holy Spirit that enables us to overcome those evil sinful appetites. Well, I want to go back and I want to read what we talked about this morning, and then we'll go a little further and try to work this out so that we can get a principle or two to live by. Now, look at verse number 16. Paul is dealing with this issue of the law and so forth, and that he basically what he's saying here to them, listen, it was through the power of the Holy Spirit that you were saved. It was the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working in your life that you were saved. He's telling the believers that, this church, the churches in Galatia, it was the Holy Spirit and the work of God that converted you, that saved you, that transformed you from your sin and being bound for a separation from God. It was the Holy Spirit who did a work in your heart and in your mind and in your life, and He has converted you, and that is through the Holy Spirit that you are experiencing new birth or the rebirth. And so what He's saying, He's challenging them here. He's saying, so if it was the Holy Spirit that has done this work in you, and He is sanctifying you, and He is growing you, He's transforming you into the image of Christ, Romans 8:29. If it was the Holy Spirit working and doing these things, then why is it that you want to abandon the working of the Holy Spirit in your life and go back to the outward law ruling you and governing you and watching your behavior and making it outward rules, outward law that is conforming you, when actually it was the Holy Spirit working in you, inside of you? And so we saw this morning that the Bible tells us that the law of God is written on the hearts of His people. And so God changes us from the inside out. God changes us through the inside. He writes His law. He writes His word on our hearts. And therefore, we cannot do the things that maybe our sinful appetite wants to do, because the law of God written on our hearts convicts us. The Holy Spirit takes that law. He convicts us. He challenges us. He won't allow us to do that. He stops us. He intervenes in our wrong behavior, and He stops us because He is preventing us from doing this evil. Well, Paul says, look at verse number 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit. Remember, that means to be in step with, step by step by step. What the Holy Spirit is doing, you do. What the Holy Spirit is challenging, you listen to, you obey. Walk in step with. Don't get out of sync. Don't get way ahead of Him. Don't get way behind. But you stay close. You walk with the Holy Spirit in your life. Now He goes on and He says, this I say, then walk in the Spirit. And this is how you're going to defeat the flesh. This is how you're not going to cave into sin. He says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, the key to our spiritual victory, and the key to us doing the things that the Lord wants us to do and not doing the things we shouldn't do, is to be yielded, to be submitted, to be walking in step side by side with the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to rule and lead and direct our lives. Now look at verse 17. There's a conflict. For the flesh, he lusts against the Spirit. The flesh, that is our old nature, our sinful nature that we still have, he lusts against the Spirit. He desires against the Holy Spirit. He wants things that are opposite of what the Holy Spirit wants. He wants things that will gratify the flesh. He wants things that will gratify our old nature. He is opposite, if you would, of the Holy Spirit. So the flesh and the Holy Spirit, they work against each other. And so the only way that we can have victory over the flesh is by being yielded to the Holy Spirit. And he says, in the spirit against the flesh. And these two, these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. The reason we're defeated, the reason we don't end up doing the things that we know we ought to and that we want to, I think most believers, I hope most believers have a passion and a desire to be pleasing to the Lord, to not ruin their testimony, to not ruin their marriage, to not ruin their friendships over things, but to have a testimony for the Lord. Most believers do. And so if we desire to serve the Lord, we want to serve the Lord, then the only way that we can be pleasing to Him and not be caving into the appetites of the flesh is when we're walking in step with the Holy Spirit, when we're listening to the Holy Spirit as He convicts us and He tells us, this is not right, this is wrong, and He's constantly at work in our lives, and we yield to Him, we submit to His authority. That's what's going to keep you and I from sinning. That's what's going to help us to be sanctified. That is, that's going to help us to grow and to mature in our spiritual walk for the Lord. Now look at verse number 18. But if you are not, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. It's not an outward thing on you, but it is an inward. It's the Spirit of God working in you. It's not outward laws that are transforming you or changing you, but it is the Holy Spirit working inside of you. Now look what he goes on and he does here. He's going to compare, if we are in this spiritual battle of sin and righteousness, we've got these two that are conflicting against one another. He's going to show us what they are. He's going to show us, okay, these are the works of evil. These are the works of the old nature. And these are the fruit. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Now look at these. In verse number 19, he says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are. And then he goes on. Now I want you to see something here. There's three categories, if you would, of sin here that he deals with. And he goes on first, and the first category is a sexual sins. These are sins of immorality, sins of the flesh, sins of disobedience in this regard. He said adultery. Adultery is the sin of a married person having sexual relations with a person they are not married to, outside of their marriage. That is a sin. It's a horrible sin. The sin of fornication is any sin of a single person or that is done that is pornography, maybe. We've got that the word that's these words here are where we get our word porno or pornography from. And so he's dealing with all of that sexual sins. We all know that our nature and our culture is overran with these sins. You do not have to go very far to see things that you ought not to see. One of the things that we have a mistake about is that oftentimes we allow ourselves things that we should not even be near. We put ourselves in situations that are not appropriate, that are dangerous, they're harmful. Paul says here, these are the things, these are the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. Uncleanness is just, it's just that. It's things that are inappropriate. It's things that are not pleasing to the Lord. It's having a dirty mind. It's having dirty speech. It's telling dirty jokes. It's having innuendos. It's anything that is unclean, lewdness. And we go on to that one, and that is actually being so unclean and so morally depraved that you you can act in total disregard for other people, and you are actually practicing just immoral speech, immoral behavior, immoral actions, and you don't care. That's the idea of being unclean and lewdness. It is that of a debauchery. It's just so wicked and so filled with immorality in your heart that you just behave whatever way you want to, and you really don't care. That's some of the appetites of the flesh. Those are sexual sins that he deals with. Now, there's a second category here. These are man-made religious sins, we might call them. And that is idolatry in verse number 20 and sorcery. Those two words, the word sorcery especially, is where we get our word pharmakeia or our word pharmacy. And it has the idea of drugs. And so what he is saying here is he's talking about the influence of idolatry. Well, what is that? It's man-made religions. It's somehow it's putting things before the Lord. It is putting, and it may be sports. It may be work. It may be a friendship that is outside of the will of God. It may be, I don't know what it is, but idolatry is worshiping or putting something above or in the place of where the Lord should be. Then when he talks about sorcery, you got to understand it was very common in this culture. Part of their practice was actually their worship, some of their temple worship was absolutely immoral. It was absolutely, it was just sexual orgies. It was all kinds of things that they had temple priests and on it went. And when he talks about sorcery, he's talking about people that would literally get themselves in some of these worshiping ceremonies and so forth. They would be high on drugs. They would have drugs in their system, so they were not even thinking correctly. They weren't thinking right. And they were getting all caught up in all of these evil practices, this immorality, this evil worship and so forth. And so he says there's idolatry, there's sorcery, there's man-made, drug-induced religious behavior. Then there's another category that he goes to, and it's what we might call social sins, or we might call it relational sins. And he starts right off with hatred. Then he talks about contentions. That is just being contentious. You ever meet anybody that's just, they're just always contentious? It doesn't matter if the sun is shining and you say, boy, it's a beautiful sunny day, they're going to argue with you about it. They just have a spirit of contention. There's some people that they're not happy unless they're in a fight with somebody. They're just always contentious with other people. There's jealousies. Jealousy is wanting something that God has not given you, but he's given somebody else. It's wanting what the Lord has not given to you, wanting it from somebody else, but it's more than that. It actually drives you to wrong behavior. It drives you to behaving inappropriately and against that person and so forth. Jealousies, very evil, comes from within our hearts. Then he says outbursts of wrath. That's just blowing up. And some people will say, well, that's just my personality. No, it's not. It needs to change. I guess I can say it. I had a gal one time in a church, and I won't say what church it was, not this church, so that doesn't matter. But just always just a pain in the buccas, let's just put it that way. And always just giving you a hard time. And disrupting the church. And I talked to the men and I said, hey, you know, and this is what I got. Oh, that's just her. I said, well, but we can't accept that. I know it's just her, but that's the problem. It's just been her doing this, and no one has ever said stop. And so we had to deal with it. And it did change, but I think nobody ever stopped to say, you know what? How you're acting is ugly, and it's unacceptable. It's not glorifying to the Lord. You see, we can disagree with each other and not be ugly. We can disagree with each other and not be hateful and contentious, can't we? Josh and I can. But that's what outbursts of wrath is. It's just losing it. Selfish ambition. Always just wanting to please yourself. Wanting to do what you want to do. Dissensions. Just disagreeing and not being cooperative about anything. Heresies. False teachings. Envy. Wanting what others have that God has not given you. Oh, evil, envy is destructive. It's a horrible sin. It ruins lives, murders, drunkenness, getting caught up in drinking and drunkenness. I used to tell teenagers when I was a youth pastor that, you know, you'd always get the question, you know, is it okay? Is it okay for me to drink? Or is it okay? This is what I would tell them. And here, let me just say this. I don't know why we as a believer want to go all the way to the edge. I don't know why we want to do that. And I know you may have certain liberty or whatever, but why do you want to take that liberty and possibly be a stumbling block to other believers around you? But I used to tell them when they would ask me that question, here's the deal. I will guarantee you 100% that if you never take a drink of alcohol, you will never be an alcoholic. Never. But if you decide to, I can't guarantee you that anymore. Because it has a way of getting a grip on people's hearts, and it has a way of getting a grip on people's bodies. And it can be abused and misused and on and on. And so I would just say, listen, if you want 100% guarantee that you're never going to be an alcoholic and that alcohol is never going to cause a problem in your family, it's never going to ruin your marriage, ruin your life, then don't ever drink. Don't ever get hooked on that. What about revelries? Revelries. Constant bickering and fighting and on, and he says, and the like, everything else just like all of these. These were all social sins, and he says, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, I want you to look at the word fruit there. That's a singular word. we oftentimes take all of these fruit of the Spirit and we individualize them, and we almost, these are not the gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit are different. We don't all have the same gifts of the Spirit. But what he says here is fruit of the Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit produces in our life, and it produces all of these things in our life. Should be. And so these are the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Remember, they're fighting with the law. They're dealing with the law. They're trying to put themselves under the law. Paul says, listen, you don't need the law. All of the evidence, the work of the Holy Spirit in your life is going to lead you to do things that are never against the law. They're never against the law of God. The fruit of the Spirit will always take you in the right direction. In verse 24, and those who are Christ, look at this, they have crucified the flesh. That's past. The moment that you were saved, the Holy Spirit came inside of you and dwelt in you, the flesh is crucified at that moment, at that time, with its passions and desires. Now, doesn't mean it's done away and it's gone, but it's been crucified. It no longer should have and needs to have power in your life. It should be reckoned to be dead. It should no longer have control over you. The Holy Spirit should have control over you. Remember Ephesians 5:18? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, admonishing one another and giving thanks to the Lord. Listen, when the Holy Spirit is ruling and governing our lives, the flesh, the works of evil, those verses in 19 and 20, through 21, those will stop. Because the fruit of the Spirit, they will be evidenced out in your life. Now, verse 25, look what he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Okay? So if we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, living inside of us, then let's live lives in step with Him. Let's walk with Him. Let's do what the Holy Spirit prompts us and wants us to do. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Well, here we go. If you want to take some notes, we'll get these. And let me try to give you a few points for us to think about. First of all, in order to have spiritual victory in your life, in order to defeat the flesh, remember, the flesh should have no control or power over you if you're walking in the Spirit. So first of all, we must surrender our will to the Holy Spirit. Surrender your will to the Holy Spirit. Well, what, you know, is your way the, you know, in an argument or a debate or whatever it is, what's more important, pleasing the Lord, walking in the Holy Spirit, surrendering your will to the Holy Spirit, or being right in an argument? You've got to understand, surrender your will to the Holy Spirit. What would the Holy Spirit have you do in that moment, that time, in that conversation? Our men's group, we studied, I think it was this past Wednesday, but every conversation, do you realize this? Every conversation we have is a ministry opportunity. It's a ministry opportunity. And it will either go good or it will go bad. It will be effective or it will be ineffective. It will be pleasing to the Lord, it will not be pleasing to the Lord. Every time it is an opportunity. And so we must always be careful that we are walking surrendered to the Holy Spirit so that even every conversation, everything, that it's under the leadership and the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at this next thing. Laws cannot change or control men's hearts. We can put all the laws on the books, and we're trying, about guns. And we can put all the laws on the books about drugs. And we can put all the laws on the books about all kinds of things. But listen to me. Those laws will not change a person's heart. Their hearts are evil. They are intent on doing evil. You can put all the laws in place that you want to, but they will not change a person's heart. If a person has a heart that is bent to do such evil, they're going to do it, no matter what the laws are. Well, the spirit and the flesh, they have, look at this, they have conflicting appetites. We all know that. We don't have to talk about that a whole lot. We all know that. The appetites of our flesh and the appetites of the Holy Spirit, they're opposite. They're totally different. We just went through them. We have totally different appetites for one another. I have it here. I want to skip down. Jesus said this. Jesus said it is what comes out of a person's heart. It's what comes out of a man that defiles him. Remember, they were worried about the disciples. They didn't wash their hands, or they were worried about. And Jesus said, no, it's not what goes into the man's mouth that's the problem. It's the man's heart. It's what comes out. That's where the evil is. That's what defiles him. Sin comes from within. Sin in man is the problem. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, you guys all know this, but it says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. You see that? You cannot trust your heart. You cannot trust your flesh. You cannot trust your body. You cannot trust your mind. You must have the mind and the heart of the Holy Spirit ruling in your life. All the social programs that we can put together in our country, in the world, or whatever, they will not change this. They may make life better for some people and they may help them, but it will not change men's hearts. Sin is ruling and reigning in their hearts. Holy living does not come by our living for God. I want you to catch that. Holy living, it does not come by our living for God, but by His living through us. That's where holy living, it's when we allow the Holy Spirit to live through us. We allow Him to have the authority, the rule, the reign through us when we yield to Him. Galatians 5 and verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk, live in the Spirit. Christ died for us to remove the penalty of our sin. He died for us to remove the penalty of our sin. We die with Christ to break sin's power in our lives. We live in Christ. We yield to Christ in order to break sin's power. You cannot break sin's power yourself. You have to be yielded to the Holy Spirit, walking with Christ. We must not feed the flesh. Oh, that's what we do so many times. We feed the flesh. If you have a problem with pornography and you put yourself in a computer room alone and you have a problem with that, you're putting yourself in a dangerous spot. If you have a problem with drinking and you go to the tavern and you want to hang out there, you're putting yourself in danger. You're putting yourself in harm's way. if you have a problem in all, whatever area you want to think about, then don't put yourself in that harm's way. Don't put yourself there. Romans, I think it is Romans 13, 14, he tells us, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make, look at this, no provision for the flesh. Oh, we get so angry at our flesh sometimes. But yet we make provision for it. We give it opportunities. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Well, why then do we put ourselves in the position where it's easy? Why then do we put ourselves in places that are tempting? Paul says, don't make any provision for the flesh. In Romans 7, 18, right before he said, oh, wretched man that I am, he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. See that? He said, my sinful nature is wicked. It is absolutely wicked. And what I want to do, I end up not doing. And what I don't want to do, I end up doing. Why is that? It's because the flesh is evil. The flesh is sinful. It's corrupt. And it cannot produce anything good. It produces only evil. Take a machine for an example. A machine in a factory, it works and it works hard and it's always going. Some of the machines over here at Reynolds and other places, they're 24 hours a day. I remember my roommate in college, his grandparents had a wheat farm out in Kansas, and when he was telling me that when wheat harvest came and they were harvesting those combines, they ran 24 hours a day. They never shut them off. They were just, somebody was always running the combine, harvesting the wheat. And you know, so factories or machines, they can work. They could work 24 hours a day, and they can turn out a product. They can make bags, or they can make plates, or they can make all sorts of things. But you know what? A machine cannot produce life. It cannot produce fruit. You know, we could have Reynolds down there. Reynolds cannot produce apples, because that's life. They cannot produce bananas. That's life. And you, in your human flesh, you cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit, because that is life. All you can produce is the evil works of sin. You have to be yielded over to the Holy Spirit. And so a machine, it can never produce life. It cannot produce fruit. We don't have fruit factories. We have factories that can fruit, that grew out in the field, that God grew. But we can't make pears or whatever. The flesh, it produces dead works. Hebrews 9 and verse number 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We're to be busy about serving God. The work of the Spirit is to make us more like Christ. For His glory. It's to make us more like Christ for His glory, not for the praise of men. God's desire is that you become more and more like Christ. The fruit of the Spirit cannot grow in a sinful life. I grew up, and I'm glad I grew up where I did and when I did and so forth. We did not have Xbox games, and I don't have a problem with that, whatever, but our big thing was Atari. I don't know how many of you can remember that, but you had the rectangle on this side of the TV and the one on this side. It was all black and white, and you could move these up and down, and there was a ball that would go back and forth, and you would hit it back and forth. That was our video games, all right? So we didn't play it a whole lot. But I'm glad. But I grew up on a farm, and we raised strawberries. I've told you all kinds of stories before. But we had to work in the fields. I wished I had some pictures of our fields. I don't. I'm going to have to get some from my aunt and uncle and have them send them to me. But we would have rows. I mean, they would go from here over here all the way up to West Fair Drive or whatever it is. I mean, they would go a long ways. And we would have to go out and we would pull weeds. And one of the things that's interesting is teenagers, this is going to blow your minds. But we would be out there at 6 in the morning on Saturday and every day in the summer. 6 in the morning, and we're pulling weeds. Because if you allow those weeds to take over, they're stealing nutrients from the strawberry plants. They're stealing nutrients from the ground. They're limiting the growth of the strawberry plants. And so we had to go and we had to pull all those weeds. And I remember we would look down through and sometimes there'd be sections of the field that wasn't so bad. And then there were other sections just like, oh man, we got to do that field tomorrow. And we hated it. And I remember we would always try to pick the row that was not as bad, right? Now, because of my sight, I was always down like this, picking blossoms. This is how I went up the row. Pulling weeds, plucking them out. Once in a while, accidentally pulling a strawberry plant because it was too close to the weed. Got the wrong one. Now I'd dig a hole and put it back in before my grandpa would see it, right? But we had to pull those weeds out so that the strawberry runners could grow out. I remember people would come to our farm, and especially when my uncle began to take over more than my grandpa, it was weed-free picking. There was no weeds. And that's because we worked our tails off all summer, and he sprayed and all that. But it was hard work. But I would not trade that for sitting on a couch playing a video game for anything today. Not to bash video games, but I just wouldn't trade it. And we'd talk and we'd, you know, goof off, whatever. But it was important to get those weeds out. Because if we didn't get them out, the berries couldn't grow like they should. They wouldn't produce the crop like they should. And the harvest wouldn't be like it should. You see, those weeds weren't going to produce strawberries. And the weeds in our lives are not going to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit is going to produce fruit in your life that is going to bring glory to God. The only thing these old bodies will do is produce evil works. And I'm afraid that too many times, we as believers, we let little weeds get in. And it doesn't seem like that big of a deal. Matter of fact, some of those rows we looked at, like, wow, do we need to do that one? It's not that bad. Yeah, we had to do it. Because there would be some in there that if we let them go, they would take over. They would take over. You ever have that? We had it over here at the Parsons once in a while. There's some kind of, I don't know what it is, but it grows up even in the rocks. And you have to pull it out, and it you pull it out, and it's like spread out. You know, and you be there one day and there's no weeds. The next day there's like weeds. That's how it is. And that's how the flesh works too. You give the flesh a little room and it's going to take over. We must be yielded to the Holy Spirit. We have to pull those evil weeds out And we do that by yielding to the Holy Spirit, by not giving in, by not giving even any room or place to the devil, by not putting ourselves in positions where weeds can grow, but getting them out, getting them away from us. So Paul says here, listen, you were saved by the Holy Spirit. And now you're trying to live your life by all these rules on the outside. He said, no, stop. God has written his law on the hearts of his people. And if you will let the laws of God that are written on your heart rule your life, you'll not practice these evil deeds that he talked about. You will have the fruit of the Spirit showing up in your life. You will demonstrate love and joy and peace, and you'll be long-suffering. You'll be patient with people. You won't be contentious and flying off the handle. That's how you'll be. That only comes when we yield to the Holy Spirit. But if we let the weeds of the flesh come in, they will drive out, they will quench the Spirit, and you will be defeated. You will not be growing as you ought to. And so Paul just reminds them, listen, you were not saved by the law, you were saved by the Holy Spirit. So why are you wanting to go back under the law? Live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You don't need the law of Moses to tell you how to live. You need the Holy Spirit, who has written the law of God on your heart, to direct your life. That's what you need. That's what he's telling them here. And so he really lays it out, gives them, a great picture of what they were. They were doing great. They were saved. They were following Christ. Then they were putting themselves back under laws and rules. And he says, it's the Holy Spirit that changes you, not rules. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer if we could. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day that you've given to us. Lord, I pray that you would just bless us. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. Help us to walk in step with him. Not to be distracted, not to be drawn away, Lord, to evil and to our old nature. But Lord, help us to realize that it is crucified. It does not have power over our lives unless we let it. Lord, if we would yield and submit to the Holy Spirit, Lord, we could bear fruit for your glory. So help us, Lord, to do that this week. Help us to really stop and think, how am I doing spiritually? Am I growing, or do I have some weeds in my life that need to be plucked out? Some things that just, they're not helping me spiritually. Maybe it's just a place I'm going, or maybe it's something I'm reading, or maybe it's a person I hang out with. I don't know. But it's just not spiritually healthy for me. Help me, Lord, to deal with that. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. I forgot to mention this morning, it's in the bulletin, but I want to make sure that you know it. Men, if you can make sure others know it, on Tuesday, many of the guys, they wanted to go to Norma's instead of Hardee's. And so we're going to go to Norma's Tuesday at 8 o'clock. So our men's fellowship breakfast or whatever, it'll be over there at Norma's at 8 o'clock. Okay, so I just want to make sure everybody knows that. So guys, if there's somebody that's not here, I think of Ron Gilman, we might mention to him. I talked to Don Grinke this morning, been trying to get him to come. But if there's others that you're thinking of that I didn't mention it this morning, so make sure that they know, because I wouldn't want them to go and not be there and whatever. All right? All right. Lord bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great week if you can. We're going to have a little bit of time of prayer. If you can dim the lights, John, we'll pray for a little bit.